Welcome, welcome to the Savvy Plant Sisters podcast. I am Shay. You can follow me on Instagram at Savvy Brown Plant Chick.
And I am T, and you can follow me on Instagram at Classy Plant Mama.
All right. So, Tia, let's do a recap from last week.
All right. So, last week, we discussed talking to our plants and the benefits of talking to our plants. We even did a little bit of scientific research brought out how talking to your plants helped them grow, the different type of music that you listen to, all that definitely benefit your plants and their growth and their overall health.
Right. So guys, this week we're going to talk about tips for new plant parents. We are both new plant parents, as we spoke about in previous episodes, that we are this hobby, in a sense, we've gained this love for plants through the pandemic. So 2020 has brought this love that we have for plants.
Yes.
Chances are, if you are listening to this podcast, you are a plant. You may like plants. You may have attempted to have plants in the past, but you may have had a hard time keeping them alive. I know that's what we've experienced. Mm-hmm. We've all had a plant and killed it, you know? But it's something that gravitates us to trying a new plant again. So we want to give you some plant 101, some tips that we've experienced, things that we wish we knew before we, you know, we could have saved a whole lot of plants.
But you know what? Before we really get into the meat of everything, let me ask you, what initially got you into plants? Like, was it a mental thing, or was it just something that you just picked up and was like, huh, I'm pretty good at that? Like, what was it?
I would say it was something that I wanted to, I was in the store. Actually, not the store, the Easter Market. Mm-hmm. And I saw this plant, and I saw all of these people around these plants. And I'm like, I want to try a plant. I wonder if I can take care of a plant. Mm-hmm. And this was a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting a plant. I had one of those Philodendron Hope.
Oh, okay.
I had one of those, and then I did so good with it, and then it just started dying when winter came. I guess, like, the passion just kind of fell off. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, and not doing very well. Yeah, and then it died, and then it's like my passion died. Yeah. And then I got a aloe vera, and I did really good with that, and it fell a few too many times, and then it was doing so good, and then I kind of lost my passion. But last year, it's like I got this passion back, and it just took off. It's like I actually put in a lot of time to learning the plant that I had. I never really put that much energy into it, but pandemic, it was like we had a lot of downtime. So I actually had time to like really pay attention to my plant, really do research on my plant. And then that sparked me like, hey, let me get another one. I'm doing so well with this one. Let me get another one. I did another one.
And you got me into it.
It made me so happy.
Yeah.
It made me so happy taking care of this plant and seeing this plant grow and have babies and all of this. It just created this happiness.
You know what? I agree with you. I never really was a plant person. Matter of fact,
you used to tease me.
I did. But before that, I would get not necessarily indoor plants. It was more so outdoor plants. And my ex would say, death to the plant. As soon as I brought the plant home.
How bad?
I know. But that's how bad I was. So I felt that it wasn't my thing, you know, that I couldn't do it. But then, last year with the pandemic, and everyone knows really, it was hard on everyone, mentally. And at that point, when I seen you with the plant, I made fun of you.
Yes.
You know, like, how many plants you gonna have? You know, my God. Blah, blah. And, but what I found in the end, long story short, it kind of did, I felt like I found my thing. You know, like some people it's art, or some people it may be music or whatever. But I really, and I know this is, I don't want to pump myself up, you know, get this big head. But I really do think I'm on this right path with this whole plant life. I'm enjoying
you it. You found your calling.
Yes.
You found
and,
your
and
calling.
With this journey, I'm enjoying it. Like, I look forward to learning about different species of plants, mm-hmm. where they come from, how to care for them, mm-hmm. how to create your own. So, you know, the point why I wanted to bring that out is sometimes we may be afraid or feel intimidated by plants because we watch these videos and, you know, all these big fat and Latin words and stuff. But yeah, it's a thing, and everyone should at least try it.
I think people think, oh, it's just a plant. It's just a plant. But plants are not just pleasing to our eyes, but they are living things, you know? Mm-hmm. They're real. They require oxygen and light. And most importantly, adequate attention. We have to give our plants attention. And that connection you have with their plant, and with that, it's like caring for a child. You have to give this plant attention. Yeah. You know, it gives you back, you know.
And it could be you know, for the plant mamas out there,
or dads
who are real mamas and dads, it can be a challenge because plants do get you. It requires a lot of our attention. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm able to really start this journey because my kids are older. You know, not to say you couldn't do it if you had younger kids, but you're right. It's a lot of work, but it's worthwhile. So I don't want anyone to be afraid. That's why we're going to discuss the do's and the don'ts to get you on the right path.
It is. I think, too, it's important to understand. That's what we're going to talk about. The steps is you got to know what you're getting into. You got to pick a plant that fits your needs, you know. Let's just jump into some of the tips now.
Okay.
One of the number one things that I wish I knew is I wish I paid attention to what my needs was, how, you know, what area do I have to accommodate plants, mm-hmm. you know, what my lighting space is, mm-hmm. because I learned that I have south-facing windows and west-facing windows. Mm-hmm. So it's important for me to, now I'm very clear as far as, you know, I need full sun, I know it can put over here, mm-hmm. and the partial, I can put over here.
And I'm so jealous, you have a south-facing window. That is the dream. Window.
Listen here.
You can literally get any plant you want.
That's my plant room. My plant room is the south facing window. My office. True. My office is my plant room.
For my house, I have a east and west facing window. And so initially, I would just grab a plant. Like, mm-hmm. if I seen a plant, I'm like, oh, I want it, and I'll grab it.
It's cute. I'm going to get it. And then it dies.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute. I can't put this plant anywhere. It doesn't like no room in the home.
Yeah. And so I think knowing what type of facing windows you have. And then you can easily find that, guys. Like, you can just download a compass on your phone. Mm-hmm. And pointed at the window, and the compass will let you know whether or not you have an east facing window, south facing window, you know, north or whatever. And that it's important because that's crucial to the type of plant that you have.
Yeah, it's serious. It's like you can't put a bird of paradise in a in a window.
In a north facing window.
It's not gonna do well. It likes sun.
It likes sun. Yep.
It's like putting a peace lily in a south facing window. That may not do well because it's too much sun.
Too much sun,
yeah. So it's very important for you to.
And then the type of window. You know, and like if you in a apartment, like more so in the inner cities, they have the room length windows from the floor to the ceiling. Now, if you have a big window, you get a lot of light in, and let's say it's a north facing window, you probably can get away with getting some plants because you have that whole window that's bringing in sunlight. Mm-hmm. Whereas you can have the windows that's up in the ceiling, you know. Now, those type windows, you're not getting as much light, even though it may be a south facing window. So it is important to know what type window you have to determine what the type of sun that's coming through. So that's important.
Definitely. What do you think about drainage holes? I think it's so important to have a plant.
Oh my gosh.
You don't want to get I mean, I've done this. I got a plant without drainage holes, mm-hmm. and it was tragic because the roots, I would water it, and then the roots would just sit in a pile, just sit and soak in water. Like, I'd have killed so many plants. Like,
I mean, the rule of thumb is if it doesn't have a drainage hole, don't get the pot. Now, with that said, it's okay to have a pot with no drainage hole and you sit the nursery pot inside of the...
Yeah.
So you have a catch pot.
Yeah.
What they call it. That's perfectly fine.
Or I hear a lot of people drill holes in there.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't gotten to that point because I like my plants to be in nursery pots because I like to take them out. I like to put them in a shower, and then it's easier for me to carry because some of those ceramic pots are so
very
heavy.
Very heavy.
It's easier for me to take it out take it out the pot and then give it a shower or something like that. So I like to keep mine in nursery pots. And I found that actually at the nursery, they sell all type of nursery pots.
And you know what? It's so funny because the pots are endless. Like, they have so many beautiful pots. It's like shoes. You're right. It is. It's like shoes. Mm-hmm. It's like shoes. And I found the terracotta pots. I'm loving the terracotta pots.
I'm not really into those.
Oh, I love terracotta. You cannot go wrong with a terracotta pot.
It just don't match well with my decor.
Oh, but you can get the terracotta. There's a guy... I can't think of his name on Instagram, and he actually do the art. So you will find a lot of people.
Oh,
actually,
on the terracotta pots?
Yes, they you can actually paint. Okay. So you can do your own like funky design.
Okay,
so
if you're good at art,
you know, you could do your design.
Okay,
so
I can see that. I can see that.
So the pots, drainage holes. The whole point is you want to make sure that water is coming out of that pot when you're watering your plants. You never ever want to water your plants and the water just sits there.
Yeah, definitely root rot. Cannot, it's no coming back from that.
My first fiddle leaf too. Her name was Fifi. Let's moment of silence for Fifi.
Oh,
so Fifi was my favorite, and it was root rot.
She is root rot.
I killed her, and, you know, I still have nightmares about it. But, so, yes.
You know.
We want to make sure that our plants have the right, you know, it's not sitting in water.
That brings us on to our next, our next tips is, sometimes when we love our plants so much, we tend to overwater. That's how we're showing love, is by, let me give you some water. And you got to be careful because you don't want to overwater and you don't want to underwater either.
Yeah.
But my philosophy, I'd rather underwater than overwater.
Exactly.
Because we can come back from being underwater, but being overwatered, is no coming back from that.
And it's it's natural because growing up, what are you told? Water your plants every day. Water your plants every day. Water your plants every day.
Drink water.
Right. And that's actually the worst thing you can do. I don't think there's any plant. There are some plants. But most plants, you do not have to water every single day.
I don't want one to water every day. I do. I don't have time for that.
I mean, in the summertime, it's getting more sun. It's growing rapidly. Yeah, you may have to water. And even with that, it probably wouldn't be every day.
Yeah, no, most plants you don't have to water every day. I know right now my Rio Conlo is having a baby. So,
nobody asked, but go ahead.
Don't be jealous. So I noticed that anytime your plant is giving birth in a sense, popping out new leaves, it needs more watering. And she's just using so much energy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so thirsty.
It's like a woman pregnant and she's eating more.
I'm like, you know?
That comes with it.
She is working me.
Listen, yours is working you, mine's is killing me.
Oh my God.
So which one you want?
No, yours literally is killing you.
Literally.
Yeah.
So with that said, what I found helpful. Now there's two ways, people, that you can do this. You can put your finger 2 inches in the dirt, in the soil. And when you pull your finger out, if it's wet or you can still feel, you know, dirt sticking to your hand, okay, then that plant does not need to be watered. But if you put your finger in the soil and it come out and it's nothing on your finger, then that plant needs to be watered. But what I find helpful is to use a moisture meter.
Yes, that's my best friend.
My best.
I have three of them now.
Yeah, I do. I have two. And you just stick it in the soil.
And it can go all the way down to the root.
It's like these two probes, and it goes all the way down to the root. Because think about it. If you have a big plant, and it's in a lot of soil, your finger can only go so far. Yeah. So with the probes, it'll go all the way down, and then it'll let you know whether or not it needs water. And it's like a little gauge. So it'll say dry, moist, or very wet. It's so simple. I recommend everyone to use that, especially when you're starting off. Like myself, I'm not an expert.
I definitely would recommend using
them. And they're only like $8.
Yeah, mine was like under $10. Yeah.
You can get it at the big box stores. And
it's definitely.
Order on Amazon.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely worth it. I couldn't go either way. Also important, you don't want to overwater because you create a pest issue. Because those gnats.
Gnats are my friend.
Gnats
are my friends.
Gnats will take over your house. That's how you know you've been overwatering. When you start seeing gnats everywhere. Because they love.
Sometimes it got to the point like get on my phone in the morning. And the light from my phone. The gnats would be looking. I'm like, hey, how you doing,
see,
guys?
Overwatering.
You gonna check the weather too?
That is a recipe.
Gnats are my friend.
That is a recipe. When you start seeing them gnats, that means you are overwatering.
But let's be honest. Gnats are really hard. I mean.
But you know what? Since I've been really diligent with trying not to, cutting back on my watering. Mm-hmm. And then I have seen like very few gnats.
Okay.
And I'm at the point where I rather underwater my plants than overwater them. So I'm trying to be really diligent. Like, I had myself on the schedule, like, every Sunday, plant care, self-care day. And it's like, no. My plants is like, no.
Yeah.
No.
But you know what? A lot of people do. Now, I haven't tried it yet. And I will. I really do want to. It's the bottom watering.
I'm gonna do that, but I'm a little nervous.
I'm a little nervous too, but I've done a little bit of research on it, and it's definitely worked. So what you do is you fill a pan with water, and you sit your pot in the water, and so the plant is soaking the water up from the bottom, versus pouring the water on the top. That way, the soil's getting wet from the bottom up instead of from the top down. And when you do that, you can avoid a lot of those gnat issues.
Definitely. I might try that though this summer though.
Yeah, I think I may try that.
I'm gonna try it.
It you know, I've heard rave reviews on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, why not?
I think I might try that too.
And then you know what? When it comes to watering, another key point is knowing what type of plant you have and the watering needs of that plant.
And if you can accommodate those needs.
Exactly. And you can easily do that by just going online, Googling the plant that you have. If you buy a plant, 9 out of 10, the name of the plant is on the pot.
Yeah.
And then you Google that name and it'll give you all about the care.
Yeah.
How much to water it, you know, how much sun it needs. And that'll give you an idea because some plants need more water than other plants.
Yeah. I like those plant identifier apps. I'm not going to say any because none of them are sponsoring us. But I suggest you go on, depending on, you know, what provider you have, look up some plant identifiers. I have two that I use. And sometimes when I'm in a store, you know how some of the big box stores is. Mm-hmm. They tell you the complete opposite of what your plant is. They put any tag on the plant. They will put any tag on there.
Look, well, don't get a plant from like Lowe's.
Oh my
God. I love Lowe's, but man, Lowe's and Home Depot, they soak the plant. If you get a plant, let's just say this. I don't want to down the whole play, but if you get a plant from the D, then from the big box stores, then you're going to have to you don't have to water that plant for probably a good 2 weeks.
But it depends. It depends.
A good 2 weeks.
It's going to be either or. It's going to be drowning or it's going to be so dry. It depends on if they had an extra person to work over there in that department. It is. I mean, but one thing I do like about the big box stores, though,
mm-hmm. I love the big box.
One thing I like about it is I've been able to get a lot of good pots because they have, mm-hmm. like, they will mark their plants on clearance so fast. If you be like, hey, this leaf is dead, they yep. be like, oh, sure, no problem, $5. Yep. And I don't even care about the plant. I just want that pot.
Mm-hmm.
But that same pot would be over there for $20.
Yep.
So I do like that about those big box stores. Oh, they're yeah. really quick to oh, yeah. mark
they
something
have some
on
really,
clearance.
Really nice plants.
But you, one thing what goes into the next thing we need to do mm-hmm. is if you get, even from some of these nurseries, you want to quarantine your plants.
Yes.
Okay. When you, if you have
Set one, for the people in the back.
You want to quarantine your plant. If you have another, if this is your first plant, fine. Mm-hmm. But if you have a plant at home or multiple plants at home, mm-hmm. anytime you buy a new plant, quarantine that plant because you don't know what is in the soil. Even though we're diligent and we try to, like, T get her flashlight and she's examining
I
the
sure
soil
do.
In the store, you never know what can be deep down in that plant.
Listen, let me tell you, ladies.
Okay. Quarantine.
It's like a man, and y'all feel me. You get to know that dude before you introduce him to your family or your kids or anyone. So the same when it comes to the plants. When you bring that plant home, you don't want to introduce him or her.
They can't play.
Until you figure them out. You know if they got something and you know they're going to be a bad influence on yeah. the other plants.
Put up in a corner.
So you quarantine them. And everyone's quarantine is different.
Yeah.
I usually quarantine for a week. But I know people who quarantine longer.
Some people quarantine for like a month.
Yeah.
So it I mean, they all depend.
I would say at least a week or a couple days, 5 days or something.
Yeah, I definitely do longer than a couple days.
Now, the challenge with that is when you have so many plants that
you're running out of quarantine spots. Like, I'm not even going to tell you
because you want to quarantine a plant when it's not, around by itself. Without other plants around.
Yeah, that's when you got too many plants.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
You don't have anywhere to quarantine your plants. It's...
Oh, Savvy, don't you dare. Do you have a place to quarantine?
Yes,
and
I
I'm
do.
Not talking about the stove. Do you have a place to quarantine?
I do have my quarantine spot.
So it's good to have a designated spot to quarantine your plants.
If somebody's in quarantine, I cannot get another plant because somebody is already in quarantine.
Yeah.
You got to come out of quarantine
wait
before you
come
go.
Out.
Yeah, you.
And that's very, very important because there's a lot of pests that you
don't want an infestation.
Yeah,
like that. Remember my jade when I had I got it.
Let's
jade.
Not bring. Oh my gosh, that
I had the
hurts my heart.
My jade I bought last year at the Easter Market was so amazing. Mm. It was so gorgeous, and she had mealybugs. Mm. And I'm so glad that I caught. And I caught the mealybugs, and I noticed that it had that before it got to my monsteras, because I probably would have died. But this it was a learning lesson, though.
Yes,
so
it's
it freaked me
lesson.
Out because that was my first time having a pest issue such mm-hmm. as mealybugs. Mm-hmm. So I immediately grabbed the plant up, threw it outside. I think I killed it faster by spraying it to death.
Listen,
what's that? The neem oil. I think I killed it with the neem oil because I almost I put everything
so
on this plant.
Death to the plant.
It was death. I was like, no, and I probably killed it. I just probably.
But see,
off.
That's another thing too. Since we are, pests is a whole nother episode, but we don't want to throw our plants away when they get a pest. It's natural to get a pest.
It can be saved depending on how far it has gotten.
Because with me, I have thrown plants away.
Yeah.
If I see a pest. And I freak out and I'm like, ah!
Yeah.
And I throw the whole thing away.
But you had a learning lesson though with one
of yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so that's the thing. As you start this plant journey, you will figure things out on your own too. Just like driving, you figure a yeah. lot of things out as you drive more. So the same when it comes to plants.
That goes into like we spoke about last week is when you're paying attention to your plants,
mm-hmm.
you notice things
yes.
in the beginning phases. Like I had that ponytail palm and she had mealybugs, but after I didn't finished my jade off, I learned how to deal with that mm-hmm. issue. And I was able to, I saw a little speck, white speck. I immediately like zoomed in on it, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't have saw it if I wasn't paying attention to her.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I was paying attention to my plant. I was able to keep the millibugs off of her by giving her a little medicine to get mm-hmm. rid of them, you know, before it got to my other plants. So and it's so important to pay attention to your plants.
And that's why it's so important to have a routine of cleaning your plants.
Mm-hmm.
Wipe your leaves, people. Wipe your leaves. Just have a microfiber cloth, a spray bottle,
a paper towel, something.
And just spray and wipe, because it's beneficial on multiple levels. When the plant is clean, it can soak in sun more.
Yeah.
As well as you're up on top of the pests. So as you cleaning the leaves, you will see signs if there's a pest issue. You know,
the webbing, spider mites,
or the stickiness from the what bug is that? What's that?
I don't know what that is. But listen here, my aloe vera got that. I don't know if it's the scale or that's why she in intensive care.
I think that's aphids.
Yeah, it's one of them. I'm scared.
But when you're cleaning your plants,
you notice that.
You would notice all that. And I'm like I said, really all pests can be eradicated. But the key is staying on top of it early. Just like your health. Checking on, you know, staying on top, going to the doctor regularly. You can, if something were to happen, you have a better chance of being cured of whatever illness you have.
In the early stages.
In the early stages. So the same with your plants. And stand on top of it, because I have thrown a lot.
I think too, what's helpful is removing the dead leaves. Sometimes you ignore them,
and you get scared. You see a
remove
yellow
them.
Leaf.
Remove it. Cut it off, because it's taking energy.
Yeah,
and let that energy go towards another.
It's like you freak out. You see that yellow leaf. You're like, my plant is dying.
Yes. No. Clip it off.
Because a lot of times that brown or yellow leaf, you have new leaves coming, and it's just pushing out. The dead ones.
It's
and
okay. Cut it off.
It's all signs.
Pull it off.
It could be overwatering, underwatering.
Just don't leave it there, because spider mites like that. So
yeah,
don't
and
leave it
and with
them.
That too, when if you have a plant that's dead, and you have no, you're not trying to rehab it. Get rid of it, because gnats and pests love that too. Yeah. That soggy, or the. You know, the dead leaves and stuff, they thrive in that. So just throw it away. Make room for another one.
I think one thing too we want to remember, if you have pets or if you have small children, there's a lot of plants that can be toxic.
Very much.
So you definitely want to make sure you pay attention to that. If you have a cat that likes to nibble at your plants, some plants will kill your cat. We may not kill them.
Fifi,
it can make them very sick.
Where's Fifi?
Okay. You definitely want to be very careful with that.
Fifi been nibbling. And then last but not least, do not repot your plants unless it's necessary. So many people get a new plant home and then they right away repot it. You do not have to do that.
Yeah, it causes shock. It can be cause a lot of shock to the roots.
Especially when you're new. Like people that are experienced, sometimes they want to use their own soil mixture. And that's fine. But when you're new to this, like we're talking about beginners, you don't have to repot your plant.
Not unless, but some plants, I got one plant that I needed to repot, mm-hmm. depending on the roots, because the roots was coming out the
bottom. Okay.
So those are like those emergency 911 is that you need to repot. If the roots are coming out the pot, like I got a couple plants from Easter Market, they were coming out the plant, especially start coming up the top of the plant, you have to repot. But don't just repot just because.
But then some plants, if you see the roots on top, like the, like for instance, the Congo, that's what they like. Like it likes to be root bound. A lot of plants like to be root bound. So, I mean, it's one of them things you will learn with experience as you go. But right away, I would suggest don't repot your plant right away. A lot of people do that and it shocks the plant. And their plant end up dying. And then another thing, when you bring a new plant home, let it adapt to your home. Some plants may look like it's dying, But give it time. It has to adapt to a new environment. The air and everything plays a big... A lot of these plants are coming from nurseries.
Yeah. They have to adapt to your environment right now.
So sometimes it may look like it's dying when it's really just adapting. And give it a few weeks and, you know, it'll pick back up and, you know, adapt to your home. So it's so many things, do's and don'ts. But when you get a plant, know what type of plant you get. And what I would suggest, you know, when you go into the nurseries or the big box stores and you see something you really, really like, jot the name down.
Yeah.
And then when you go home, do research. Or better yet, if you want to do research while you're there, you can easily Google that that name of that plant. And it'll give you an idea. This plant needs full sun. This plant needs this much water. This plant needs this. And then you can kind of get an idea, oh, maybe this plant is not for me. Or maybe I should get it, you know, whatever. But you want to, the whole point of getting a plant is for it to live. So yeah. Knowing is better. The more research you do, the better chances you have of seeing your plant thrive.
Yeah, yeah. It's so important.
And enjoy it. It's fun. It, I mean, at the end of the day, if the plant dies, get another one.
That's the main thing right there. Is that we have to enjoy the journey.
Oh, yeah.
Of our plants instead of making it like a chore. We don't want it to be a chore, another task. We want to enjoy caring for our plants and love them. They're like children, you know? They're that don't talk back. Okay? They're like the kids that don't talk back, you know?
So then they're not children because children talk back. Children talk back.
We love our plants. We love caring for them. They're a distraction for us, especially in the times that we're in, this pandemic.
It's
driving us all nuts, but it's bringing that love, that it's that connection in a sense. So we enjoy it.
So we want you guys to enjoy it too.
Yes.
Yeah, enjoy it too. So, Savvy, what are we going to be discussing next week?
Well, next week, we are going to talk about the journey that plants can take you on. Mm-hmm. And then I think we should talk about some grow lights because is something that...
I have a very little experience, but I would do some research too. So I love doing research.
Because I'm new. You know what? I'm new. I have these grow lights, but I think it's really helping. I need to get more because the way I have them like on my... The good twin, Bird of Paradise.
Well, you need to put it on the bad twin.
But see, I need to get another one because I want everybody to be getting this light.
Okay.
So now I need to get more, you
especially
know?
Especially in the wintertime.
Yes, especially.
Yeah, in the wintertime.
So. They are like, they suffering.
Yeah.
As well as duplicating the environment. That's another tip. I'm sorry, I missed that one. Is learn what type of plant you have. You know, you want to give
Where
it.
Where is this origin?
Get it close Africa, to that environment, like tropical
Asia.
Plants.
Yeah. Tropical plants.
You want to kind of duplicate the environment as close as possible. So I want to talk about humidifiers, you know, is how do we get that humidity?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm new to that now is I have a humidifier and I just keep moving it around. I need to get more because I want to give it that humidity.
Yeah.
So next week we'll talk little bit about humidity for your plant, creating that humidity, grouping your plants together can give them a natural humidity. But in the winter months, we need to give them a little bit more. So that's adding humidifiers, cool mist humidifiers, as well as grow lights and how that can help us. This is helping us bridge the gap until we get to our spring, summer.
And maybe we'll touch on fertilizing. Our plants,
because that is something. This is gonna be our first season doing
it. Will this would be so I want to like I said, always every podcast we are not experts.
We are learning.
We're all learning at the same time. So with the fertilizing, this will be really. I fertilize my hydraulic plants. I use a liquid fertilizer.
See, I want to do that.
Yeah. Oh, we can touch on that too. Hydraulic plants. Oh my gosh, you guys.
See,
I have my Sarah growing in water, and she's thriving.
And you know what's so crazy? When she was in soil, she was
dying.
She was like critical care unit. And now,
well, she wasn't in your room. So
okay, don't you be talking about this care unit, okay? Because they still making it up in there.
So we're gonna touch on a little this and that next week. So until then, everyone, stay safe,
stay healthy, and wear your mask.
Wear your mask.
We will talk to you guys next week.